going back now for the tape for Monday, May the 25th, 1970.
Off the land, this is Carl McIntyre speaking to you today from Collingswood, New Jersey. We had a week broadcast from Saigon and Southeast Asia, and then we've had a week out in Arkansas in the great crusade out there for victory. We're back now in Collingswood. I want to give you people in Arkansas, however, a little report on our last day there and also the rundown. We have exactly two more weeks, so far as the broadcast is concerned, in Arkansas until we reach June the 6th on a Saturday, when we're expecting all of you people, as many of you as possible, to join us in this great rally on the Capitol grounds calling for victory. In the name of our God, we'll set up our banners. Friday night, down at Pine Bluff, we were in the Harmony Baptist Church. The pastor there, I'd met him years ago down in Fort Worth, Texas, and he'd been working with the World Baptist Fellowship, which is one of the group's constituent bodies in our International Council of Christian Churches. And we had quite a few preachers there in that meeting. The local paper, by the way, had a big editorial that evening blasting me and warning people against the terrible influences of Dr. McIntyre. And one of the Baptist preachers got up and he said he's going to bring every member of his church up to the great rally in Little Rock, Arkansas. Folks, attention now in Arkansas and throughout the whole country is to be focused upon the great March for Victory on June 6th. Now, many of you people, I've never asked you to help us or do anything for us, but and you people listening within driving distance or riding distance into Arkansas, I want to invite you to join us there on the Capitol grounds. The whole affair will begin at 12 o'clock on Saturday, June the 6th, and will be concluded at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we'll be marching down Capitol Avenue, about six blocks it is, and then the Capitol steps will be the platform for the great outdoor affair and the Capitol grounds. All of that's available, and we're looking forward to the greatest crowd you've ever seen out there in the state of Arkansas. God's able to do great things. I want to report to you the development so far as the president is concerned. He's really being crucified in this country. If there ever was a president that was being beaten and pounded and misrepresented, he certainly is at this present moment. I have here the latest pronouncement of the Communist Party in New York outlining their program, and I'd like to take time and read you what the present program of the Communist Party is as it is officially declared in New York City. And then that will let you see what these other cries and how they do correspond, of course, to what the communists are presently demanding. Now, I've already told you that I have here the latest testimony of J. Edgar Hoover. And when this was released a week ago Thursday in Washington, we got it immediately. And he deals specifically with these various student groups, the SDS, the Student Mobilization Committee, the New Mobilization Committee, and mentions them by name. He goes into detail and tells about the police officials that have been murdered, the number of policemen who've lost their lives in line of duty the last year, and you don't hear about these things. You don't get this kind of reporting. All you hear is that four students were killed here and two students were killed somewhere else, and that becomes the great issue, and the communists are blowing the thing up and making it a celebrated cause all over this world. And ladies and gentlemen, our nation is going down in the throes of a communist revolution. Now, I have another one of these publications. You'll be interested when I report to you. We've been hearing about the Viet Cong, the Viet Cong, the Viet Cong. That means the communist. Cong means communist. Now they're beginning to talk in terms of the U.S. Cong, the U.S. Cong. And I have one of the latest publications of the Black Panthers, and it's just communism, revolution, destruction, murder, bloodshed, all down the road inside of the United States of America. And this particular issue of the Black Panthers official publication tells us that if we have civil war inside the United States, listen to this, civil war inside of the United States, it won't be possible for the United States to take part in any of these other wars or other guerrilla activities that will be initiated in Africa and in other places throughout the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me. It's time for the voice of the preacher to be heard in the land. We're not a politician. We're not running for office. We're not engaged in anything like that. We're standing up for our God, His name, His righteousness, the commandments which God has given us in His blessed Word. And we're seeking now to reach you people with an appeal, an earnest appeal to your heart to get up, stand up, speak up, cry out against these wicked forces that are destroying this nation and disrupting our society. We're dealing with the forces that are saying they're going to change the social structure of the United States, and they're revolutionary. And we want all of you people to get in and help us in prayer and in gifts and in attendance at great rallies and meetings, and do what you can in your particular place to help offset all of this. A flood of letters right now going into Washington, D.C. would help immeasurably, because you know, when we sent our letters down there by the hundreds and the thousands before we had our March for Victory, nobody ever said anything about it. You never got any special news story that the White House was being flooded with letters, and we know it was. You never got any word that Vice President Agnew was getting hundreds and hundreds of letters. No, no, no. But just as soon as the tide is reversed, you see, just as soon as it's on the other side, well, you get these news stories that the letters are pouring in, and there's such a percentage, and always are on the side of the communist, always on the side that's going to help the communist cause at the present moment. Now let's have a word of prayer. Thank you for listening. We're happy that so many, many of you tune our way and are anxious to hear the reports and the news and the documentation and the development in this great crusade for victory, for righteousness in the land. Righteousness will exalt a nation. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great name. We know that Thou didst raise Thy Son from the dead. Thou art the God of the armies of Israel. Thou didst deliver Thy people in times past. And, O Lord, wilt Thou deliver us? Wilt Thou bless us? Wilt Thou undertake for us, give us grace, protect us, use us? And especially, Father, wilt Thou bless this broadcast ministry? And may it have the support of people, millions of them. And, Father, may we be able to take care of these obligations. And may the people support us. And may someone give us that $1 million, Father. And may we not be confused, and may we not be hesitant, and may we not turn as cowards, but may we stand up to the enemy with all the grace that Thou dost give us. Thou hast said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is our prayer. Especially do we pray for the great rally in Arkansas, the March for Victory. And we pray that people may decide to come and be present, and their presence will count in an immeasurable way for righteousness and for victory. Now this is our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have Psalm number 10. I want you to turn to some of these psalms. They're magnificent. Why standest Thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his own heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. God is not in all his thoughts. Beloved, God is in all our thoughts. Everything we are doing is to the end that we may glorify God, that we may magnify his great and his holy name. And I can just praise the Lord today that the April 4th March brought revival. It has released a power, and the Spirit of God has been moving throughout our churches, and we've seen a refreshing and a spirit of revival and rededication and consecration that has come from heaven itself. And when we stand as we have for the great principles of truth and righteousness and honor, as we have sought to do in this great land, in the name of our God, God comes and He indeed does bless us. They that forsake the law, why, they praise the wicked. But they that keep the law, well, they will contend with them. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to praise the wicked. We're not going to praise the communists. We're not going to praise these forces that are seeking to destroy our liberty that God has given us. We're going to indeed contend with them. We're going to contend with them in the name of truth, in the name of the Word of our God. Now this is our appeal, and it's coming through to you people by the thousands and thousands. And I'm asking you, my dear friend, to get in and be a part of the great struggle to save America from communism and to deliver our country from these sinister and revolutionary forces that are out to destroy us. You know, ladies and gentlemen, On Friday, after my last network broadcast, we went out to the medical center in Little Rock and met again with some of these medical students. And it was a delightful time. We got there at 3:30 in the afternoon, and these different students came in. And they were against us. There was no question about it. But I began to reason with them and answer their questions. And I think the thing that had more influence on them, perhaps, than anything else, were the quotations that I gave them from the latest testimony of J. Edgar Hoover. I just sat there and read it out of this official report from Washington, where J. Edgar Hoover proceeds to mention the SDS and the students' mobilization and the new mob and all of these things. They're mentioned by name, and he tells how the communists have moved in to places of leadership and how they control this and control that. You just read it. J. Edgar Hoover, the chief of the FBI. And it affected those students. I said to one of the young men, well, in fact, we were talking to all, I said, young man, I said, would you be against winning? Would you be against having a victory? Are you opposed to victory? You know, he sat there and he kind of puzzled around and waited. And I said, well, are you opposed to victory? And then I used the illustration. They have a crack football team out there and a world-known coach out there who takes care of the Razorbacks. I said, what in the world would happen if in your final great game of the season, when you were out there for championship and you were either going to be the winner or the loser, if the coach came along and says, now, in the interest of peace and in the interest of not injuring anybody or taking any risk, we will play only up to the 50-yard line today. And I'll tell everybody they must not pass the 50-yard line. There must be no effort, no attempt to score a touchdown. Nothing of that sort can be done in this championship game. We're going to show a spirit of love and a spirit of peace, a spirit of understanding of our opponents, and we won't go beyond the 50-yard line. They all just laughed. We don't play that way, they said. Of course they don't play that way. And when we're in war, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, before it was over, that young man and several of the young men came and took the bumper stickers. We had these beautiful new red, white, and blue bumper stickers, Arkansas March for Victory, and the word victory is in the commanding position there, large letters. He came and said, let me have one of them for my car. And other students came. And when we arrived, ladies and gentlemen, they were all against us. But when we left, they were in two parties. And one group of students was then arguing with the other group of students. And we left them with the issue in their own hands. Now, folks, if our leaders, our political leaders, if the governors are talking about understanding, if they would stand up to these students instead of capitulating to them, if they'd stand up to them and say, here is evidence that communism is running this show. Here is evidence that communists are in high places in these various groups. And J. Edgar Hoover says so. And if you'd come and give some solid documentation, it would back away an awful lot of these students. An awful lot of them would turn away from being a part of this present drive to do what the communists are demanding and are asking that we are doing. Now, I have here the latest issue, ladies and gentlemen, of the communist publications. Of course, we get these communist publications in here all the time. But I wanted to read you this. New York Communist Urge Action Program for Peace. And here the communist publication for May the 9th spells out what the communist program is right this very minute. The New York Communist today called for an all-out effort to end the war and defeat growing repression. In a statement released today, the State Party organization put forth a 6-point action program. And then they proceed to list the 6 points. But listen to this. The symbol of the racism underlying the pervading every act of the Nixon gang is the continued persecution, murders, and jailing of members of the Black Panther Party. The blatant racism so apparent in the imperialistic war against the brown-skinned people of South Asia is the other side of the coin. To defeat the racist plot to destroy the Panthers is a vital part of the struggle against the twin spectre of war and repression. The mass demonstration, this is communism, folks, I'm just reading it to you. The mass demonstration May 9th in Washington must be seen as a new beginning. Following it, there must be continuous actions on a rising curve. Crucial to the development of a broad United People's Movement against war and repression is the mass involvement of the organized labor movement. Whether it come from the rank and file groups or union leaders, there must be a repudiation of the support expressed by AFL-CIO President George Meany for the Nixon war policies. And then we drop on down. The Communist Party of New York State believes that all stops must be pulled out in this turning point in history. Listed below are some of the things that we think should and can be done. One, now listen to this. Send community groups and organization delegates to demand a pullback in Cambodia and an end to the war in Vietnam to all communists. Urge a vote to deny funds for war use. The number one point, ladies and gentlemen, of the Communist Action Program right now is to urge the congressman deny funds to the war use. There it is. There it is. The communists are making that their number one demand here in New York. Support resolutions in all organizations to impeach Nixon. Send such resolutions and individual letters and telegrams to congressmen. Produce, number three, produce and distribute leaflets and other educational material. Number four, act to free the New York Panther 21 and the New Haven 9 and all other victims of war-induced repression. And then it goes down with some more references in connection to the governor of the state of New York. Unite against war, organize against war, act against war and repression. Now, folks, this is the official call of the Communist Party here in New York, here in the United States. And, folks, whatever the communists are asking us to do, rest assured it is for the benefit and the advancement of the cause of communism. There it is. Would you kindly tell me what more we can do to alert you people? Our problem is simply to get through to the masses, to get through to you people with this kind of information. And if a man in my position who believes in God and who's standing up for the things of the Christian religion and for the kind of churches the Bible says we ought to have, if we can't speak out today against these forces of godlessness and revolution and riot and the forces of communism in our country, well, where in the world are we coming to? Now, there are two other matters that I want to mention in this connection. One is I'm deeply concerned and increasingly concerned about what's happening in regard to President Nixon. First, the way he's being crucified. And second, the way he himself now apparently is retreating some measure from what these communists recognize as what they call the turning point. You see, everything was going their way. We were getting out. Everything was going along their way until the president decided to strike these sanctuaries in Cambodia, as he said, in order to protect our men. And now we've discovered that they had tons and tons and tons of equipment and ammunition and everything else over there, even more than our government officials anticipated, and it was obvious that the communists were waiting and building up for that moment when we would be pulling out, and they would be able to overrun the whole country. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we get the story out of Florida, where the president has been over the weekend. The administration still believes, I'm reading now from a UPI story, the only way to end the war is through negotiations. Of all the things, to end the war through negotiations, and negotiations don't exist anymore. The U.S. is not raising its terms that the choice of a protracted war or substantive talks is up to Hanoi. The choice of a protracted war. So here we have a war, ladies and gentlemen, that's not going to end. It's going on and on and on and on. And it's clear now that the administration believes that their action in Cambodia was only to save a little time, to save a few months, but the protracted war is going on. Now, folks, that's not victory. That's not victory. And we all thought, when President Nixon made his magnificent speech on April the 30th and said we weren't going to be defeated and we weren't going to be humiliated and we weren't going to surrender and all these things that thrilled us, and said we weren't going to be a second-class nation and all of that, we thought that the turning point had come and that he was going to go on down and take any other necessary action that might be required. No, no, no. If that's what was in it, if that's what was there, the president has now reversed himself and is moving back to the other side. And here he is like the pendulum of grandfather's clock. On one side, one moment it's over here, and the next moment it's over there. And this means that those of us who want to end the war, we want to end the war not in 8 months, not in 10 months, not in a year, not some kind of protracted war. We want to end it in 3 months or 6 weeks or 6 months at the most. and we have the men and the means and the know-how and the firepower. We have everything we need over there right now to do that job. And this means, ladies and gentlemen, that these great rallies that we're having, our March for Victory on April the 4th, the great march in Little Rock, Arkansas, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be more significant and more important than we ever dreamed. We want to hold the president. We want to pull the president right back over there where he belongs, over on the side of victory. Now, the press and the cartoons and the editorials are just pounding the president to pieces. They're just making pulp out of him all over this country. And the press, tied in with the demands that the communists are now making, are seeking to brainwash and to condition this country. And we're in a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where even the Senate of the United States is moving many of these men along the road required and demanded and insisted upon by the Communist Party, as I've just read to you. I have a cartoon here that's just been sent in to me from one of the newspapers in the country, and it shows the president down in the waters and the swamps of Florida, and the alligators are coming after him. And it's all dark around, but up in the corner here is a hand with a beckoning finger, and across the top is the word victory, and it's all rays of light. And the president is looking up to that word victory with that beckoning hand. And across the top, Operation Will o' the Wisp. Will of the Wisp. It's just something that somebody might dream about. No, ladies and gentlemen, when the South Vietnamese military forces moved into Cambodia, they called it Operation Total Victory. They wanted victory. They know it's possible. It is possible. But here, ladies and gentlemen, the cartoons are trying to tell us that this is something that just isn't possible. Imagine the press trying to tell the United States that it can't win its wars. We've always won our wars. We've always been in favor of victory. We've always stood up for freedom. We've always been the kind of people that would do that which was pleasing in the sight of our God. What I'm trying to say at the present moment is that the great emphasis which has been ours because of our faith in God must be accented and lifted up in our national life, and the trip to Arkansas, ladies and gentlemen, on June the 6th will do it. By the way, the papers out there toward the end, of course, they really moved in to attack me because I was there. Now listen, here's John Bennett out there in Little Rock writing in Arkansas, and he's talking about Dr. McIntyre, the Reverend McIntyre, the New Jersey radio evangelist, with a penchant to defend any American war effort with a quote from the Bible. Now folks, they've all got the idea in Arkansas that McIntyre came out there with the Bible. And you know, I'm so happy about that. They've all gotten the idea that McIntyre goes around with the Bible, and he's holding up the Bible, and he's got quotations from the Bible. He who takes the sword will perish by the sword. And when the communists take the sword and the rioters take the sword, then they're going to be punished by those who have the power for order and peace and righteousness. And we have that kind of a sword. McIntyre is the Bible-quoting fundamental preacher that's calling this nation to victory. And you couldn't pay me a greater compliment than that. Then he proceeds to say the theme of the crusade is pro-war. Now, folks, this is McIntyre's pro-war crusade. No, ladies and gentlemen, the crusade of which you and I are a part is a peace crusade. We want peace by victory. We're against war. We want to end the war. We want to bring the war to a conclusion which will be with some honor and with some lessons taught to the communists. That's what we want. And then he proceeds to say he believes Senator Fulbright has lost all touch, not only with Arkansas, but the United States. And he intends this rally in Little Rock to do serious damage to the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Quote, McIntyre has been calling the senator a communist for 10 years, an aide said. He's tried everything to hurt him. End of quote. Now, folks, here's an aide of Senator Fulbright saying that McIntyre says that Senator is a communist. I've never said that. On the television show that you people saw in Arkansas last Sunday, I was asked that specific question. I said, we don't judge his motives. We do say that what he is doing has been giving great aid and great comfort, and he does have the commendation and the praise of the communist world. But that doesn't make him a communist. But that's the way they turn around, ladies and gentlemen, and twist this thing to misrepresent Dr. McIntyre and what he's seeking to do in this hour, together with the other fundamental Christians and fundamental preachers, to help deliver this nation from the awful scourge of war and the awful defeat which is impending over us at the present time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have here the testimony of J. Edgar Hoover. Tomorrow in my broadcast, I want to get into this question of the Black Panthers a little more for you. But I have here this magnificent testimony of J. Edgar Hoover. I want you to have it. I want you to get it. I'm reproducing it in one of these packets. When I was quoting from these things, the student said, "Can we get copies of that?" Others said, "May we have copies of that?" I'd rather believe J. Edgar Hoover about the communist conspiracy than William Fulbright, who says that the communist conspiracy, the international communist conspiracy, is a myth. And when you read the latest testimony of the chief of the FBI, ladies and gentlemen, you've got the highest authority on this subject speaking in the United States. I want you to get it. Now, just write me for it, please. Write me for it by the hundreds and by the thousands and have this thing at hand. We've got to reason with facts. We've got to appeal to the conscience of our youth who do believe in winning their football games and do believe in victory in these areas. And we must show them that in dealing with the greatest opponent we've ever had, we must win the victory, and that will bring the boys home sooner and safer and with great respect. And that's exactly what every single one of us desires at this present moment. Now this month, ladies and gentlemen, we've set aside as our special month for our Christian college. Here in Cape May, New Jersey, we have Shelton College, of which it's my privilege to be the president. Already, mothers and parents are writing and asking us, can our young boy, can our son, can our girl enroll in your college? We don't want them going over here to some of these schools where it's revolution and riot and all this filth and rot and the four-letter words that the girls are insulted with. We want to come to a school like yours. Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to send your young people to our college. I announced the other day that we're expanding, and I'd like to locate some good Ph.D. in English and a Ph.D. in history to come and be with us on our staff. We have a college with a tremendous future. And right now, during the month of May, we're asking you people to give us some special contributions. Many of you people have helped education. Many of you are waking up to the need of the right kind of education. And we invite you to please send us a gift or a contribution to Shelton College. And you may send it in care of this radio broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, we buy this time. We pay for it in the open, free commercial market of the USA. We thank thee for capitalism, private enterprise. We're against socialism and communism. And I want you people to help us now. Support this program. We're in great need financially. $1,000 will help us with another station. But folks, somebody ought to rise up and give us $1,000,000. And we need help in order to carry on this great crusade for victory in the name of our God. Now thank you for listening today. Send all your gifts and contributions to Collingswood, New Jersey. Collingswood, New Jersey. Thank you very much, and so long until the next broadcast.
Morning.